Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Anger and frustration are really exhaustive fuel sources. They burn quickly. Those are not clean fuel sources. There's other ways to create. And this whole thing unfolded in front of me about how to create without anxiety, right? Which you guys know I had a history of that. Well, go figure. I had no idea how much trauma I was living under. No wonder I was an anxiety ball for like easily 12 years of my life. I had no idea. Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. I have been on a little bit of a kick on topics that are not exactly sales funnel related, but are things that I find that most of us as entrepreneurs struggle with at some point, be that physical health, which is obviously why, you know, we put out that episode a little bit ago about nutrition and cancer and all that stuff and what we've learned there. And then also mental health, right? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on to building a business. It is a mentally taxing thing. I don't want to pre-frame it as aggressive, but it's certainly like, my gosh. So this episode is similar to that in that I want to talk about mental health. If you listen to the first episode of this season, I'm going to talk about the parallel journey. What I'm going to talk about in this episode and the nature of this episode is kind of meant to go in tandem with that episode. We're talking about psychedelic therapy, and it has been something that I have been involved with for not long, but I'd say a year and a half, 2 years. And I've only done it a handful of times, guys. I'm not like, so let me pre-frame this heavily, okay? I have never done drug stuff. I'm not into that. I love my brain. I don't want to hurt my head. So the first time I ever heard about this stuff, I was like, heck no. Like, I was absolutely against it. Absolutely. And vehemently was like almost hostile back. Like, why would you even recommend that? Right. And so I just want to tell you where this comes from in this context. I've only done it a handful of times, and it's been one of the most life-altering things, one of the things that sped up the time to success and inner peace the fastest out of anything I've ever done ever. So let me just tell you real fast, okay? So what I'm going to do in a little bit here is I'm going to pull in an episode. Marley Jackson and I did a YouTube video together kind of talking about our journey in this area. But I want to tell you a little bit more before going into that, okay? You can watch the whole video. It's on her channel. We're going to put more on my channel. And I just ripped the audio, so I'll get to that in a second here. But I just want to tell you a little bit, like, I grew up, and it was no one's fault, right? I grew up, though, in a situation where I just didn't think therapy was, like, a thing. Like, a real thing. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that there was certainly a stigma. And it seems like it was really from the last generation or two, right? There's a stigma around going to therapy. In fact, I remember the first time I told a mentor of mine, you know, definitely older than me. I was like, hey, I'm going to therapy. She was like, why? How long did they tell you you have to go to that? And I was like, what? Like, that's not how it works at all. Like, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. This has been so helpful. Are you kidding? You know what I mean? And that's just case in point with that there was, I'm trying to relieve the stigma around some of this stuff, because especially as entrepreneurs, you all know that as entrepreneurs, we are in one of the fastest self-development courses we never knew we were enrolling in. All right. You start a business, immediately character flaws, insecurities, things, right? They just blow up in your face and you got to deal with them. And so the mind game is so much even more, I'd say, in front of us than people who frankly aren't trying to do anything interesting with their lives, right? And so this is a big deal. And it's one of the reasons why I'm bringing it up here. So So I grew up not really thinking that therapy was, you know, you go to that as a punishment. You go to therapy when something's really wrong. You go to therapy as a last ditch effort to save it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that was just kind of the mentality and stigma that I was raised, you know, and again, not my parents. I'm being very clear here. It's not my parents. All right. It was my surroundings and a lot of the things that I was, you know, just the culture and environments and my friend circle and things like that. Oh, good for you. You're going to go work on yourself. You know what I'm saying? It was like, oh my gosh, like what's next for you? Prison for life. You know what I mean? It was next to that level of, ooh, boogeyman. And so I didn't really ever even consider going to something like therapy. Not really. Until, I don't know, I felt like I was kind of losing it internally. Not like I was losing my head or going crazy. I don't know. After I had left my job at ClickFunnels, I started, you know, and really taking on the heat of what it means to launch a company, you know, and then I launched four, I launched too many and then had to cut way back. I was just met with a whole bunch of those internal dialogue and freaky things. And I remember one day, so I started getting into like long distance bike riding, but I had a mountain bike, so it wasn't that long. It's like 40 miles, you know, which is still a long way. But I remember once, I'll tell you, it was Russell Brunson. He gave me this book called The Body Keeps the Score. And I started reading this book and he's like, you got to learn this stuff because it's, learn about trauma and in the head and stuff like that. And at the same time, started going to this EMDR therapist. And I was super hesitant because I was like, all the backstories, all the reasons I've already said. So I go to the session EMDR and I was like, what is EMDR? And EMDR is, I can't remember what it stands for. It's like electromagnetic disassociate. I don't remember what it is. But basically what it is they buzz you with these little tiny buzzers. It doesn't hurt. Okay. And the concept is that you relive all of the, whether or not you would admit it, crap that happened to you when you were young sets a precedent in your brain for how to interact with the world moving forward. And so the way trauma works is that in the head, and I'm no one's therapist, all right? This is just what Steve Larson has learned and my own journey, and I'm not telling anyone or giving advice anywhere. I am definitely leading to the psychedelic therapy kind of section, though, okay? Not suggesting it, not telling anyone to go do it, but I'm talking about it because a lot of people are. And you start looking around a lot of the entrepreneurs that have been in this game for a lot longer, and a lot of them have done some form of aggressive therapy, realizing how, you know, frankly, broken their heads are. Right. So you got to do something. You got to address it somehow. You don't really hit the next level. You know what I'm saying? Your business grows to the level you do. So how are you growing? You know, sometimes that means getting rid of the crap that you got going on in your noggin. So anyway, EMDR. So you sit down and basically the trauma works as far as what I learned from these different books and therapists. And I started that style of therapy probably 3 or 4 years ago. And the way it works is like, you know, you got this trauma in your head. Trauma is not just something that happens to soldiers, although I was one also. I had no idea how much trauma I had, by the way. That was one of the largest earth-shattering, freak-out self-awareness pieces that I ever have encountered in my entire life. To realize, I took the ACEs test or whatever that ranks how traumatic your childhood was. And I was like, what? I grew up in like a loving home with amazing parents. I have a very highly ranked traumatic childhood. And I was like, I had no idea. I had no idea. And just owning that was its own journey because it made me feel freaking broken and like I wasn't qualified to do my dream. You know what I'm saying? So that was its own thing. And so this has all unfolded over the last several years. And it's one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up. And I didn't want to bring it up while I was going through it, right? Just like we talk about, right? If you choose to, you publish scars, not wounds, not open wounds. Let it heal, right? And so I was like, man, I'm still in this. I'm not going to like go talk about it that much yet. So anyway, the way trauma works is like there's no timestamp in the place in the brain where trauma is stored. And which is the reason why something that happened 20 years ago, that software and physiology starts running in your body when you're on an airplane and turbulence happens. You start running the simulation called, oh my gosh, the car crashed from 20 years ago. Right? Your physiology amps up, heart rate goes up a little bit more. You start behaving. You're like, what the heck? It's like autopilot, right? You're not even choosing it. It's just autopilot. That's trauma. When you're not choosing it, but it's happened, that's trauma. And so anyway, so what this EMDR thing does is they literally build new neural pathways. Literally. This isn't woo-woo, right? The science all around this has been studied like crazy. It rebuilds neural pathways around the memories So that I remember each of the things, but the charge of it is gone. The intensity of it is gone, right? And it took that first EMDR therapist and I a solid year. I met with him for almost a year, just about every week, sometimes more than once, doing EMDR therapy. And it took us that first year just for me to get through my teenage years. We didn't even get into my 20s. And at the end of that, he was like, "Hey, you're done." I was like, "I don't feel done. There's more in there. Oh my gosh." And I was like, "What is happening?" But I felt significantly better. I didn't even know I felt bad. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea. I had no idea I even felt bad. And so it's like your world flipping upside down. I mean, I just had no idea of how intense all that was. So I ended up not doing more EMDR therapy for a while. And at this time, that timeline wise is when I started going through a divorce. And I went through a little bit of a depression there. I really did not produce much for like 6 months, which going through a divorce itself already kind of financially ruins you. And so then not producing much on top of that for about 6 months, like it was just tough. I'm just being real with you. I'm being open. If that offends anyone, this probably isn't the show for you. So for like 6 months, and it's not to say I did nothing, but I certainly was not my normal, like just hard charging self. You know, I was reinventing me and reinventing my identity. And this is that parallel journey, man. You might as well call this episode Parallel Journey Part 2. Right? The deeper story with Steve. Dun, dun, dun. And so one evening, I was in this thing that I call my Airbnb tour, which was a long time that I just basically lived in Airbnbs because we're going through the divorce and I had not publicly announced it. I didn't know why I needed to. And it was funny when people are like, Steven's announcing his divorce. I'm like, that's not new news. It was new to everyone else. You know what I'm saying? And so, all the respect, all the admiration, all the gratitude, you know, to that previous relationship, I'm not slamming, not bashing, grateful for it, grateful for my daughters. But I was in like a pretty tough spot and, feeling super alone, man. And then just dark. And I ended up talking to a psychiatrist who got me on an SSRI. And again, not medical advice, not psychiatry, not mental, nothing. I'm telling you my story. You do what is best for you. Do not use me as your mental guru. I'm just telling you, I'm breaking stigmas here. Okay, that's all I'm doing. I got on an SSRI and I was only on that thing for 1 week. And it was actually Alex Sharfin who sent me a message and he goes, "You should not be on that." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Watch your creativity plummet." And he was right. Even after 1 week of taking an SSRI, I was like, "All right, well, let me get off this thing." I was only, 7 days. I took it 7 times. That's it. And he was like, "Well, if you're needing like mental help," he's like, "welcome to," you know, he's like, "we all are that way, you know?" And he's like, "That's fine." He's like, "It's okay." Like, just breaking stigmas. And I had so many other coaches and so many of the people around me that are just like, "Yeah, welcome to the club. Like, took you long enough. Hi, we're all going through therapies," or we're all, not to say that everyone is, but you know, a lot more are. Like, I'm really trying to break the stigma. You want to fix yourself? Congratulations. Let's celebrate that. That's not a weird thing. That's a good thing. So that was the first time ever when someone had ever suggested to me, like, "There's other forms of therapy, Steven. You did EMDR for a year. That's awesome. But you still need help, obviously. And that's fine." And he's like, "Go look at psychedelic stuff." And that's when I was like, "Abso-freaking-lutely not. Are you kidding me?" Like, I was kind of offended at the suggestion at first. But I was like, "Yeah, it's from someone that I respect, someone that I've learned a lot from, someone I consider a dear brother and friend." And I was like, "All right, well, let me just start researching it." So I went deep, man. Y'all know how much I like go deep on like the stories that I teach and stuff like that. I went deep. I learned a ton. I was like, "This is actually really impressive therapy." So because I was just like, I could have been the poster child for the absolutely not crowd. And so I started learning more and more and more. And then that thread led to something that I learned about called MDMA therapy. And I didn't know what MDMA was, but the therapies that I was learning and the studies that are coming from it, and the fact that it's in phase 3 clinical trials, final stage studies for the FTC on, you know, proven therapies for trauma release for soldiers and actually just the general public. I was like, there's some validity behind this. And I started looking more into it. Guess who's like really hardcore into this also? Tim Ferriss. A lot of like the progressive entrepreneurs. I was like, oh, and it just, I kept peeling back the onion, man. And I was like, what? There's a whole world here of people who are getting help. This is awesome. You know, and I was like, okay, this is great. Like, and I started doing more just self-help stuff. And it's not to say that I went less hard on my business. I just started having more balance, which I don't really believe in balance at the beginning of a business. There's just a lot to do. But I do not believe in constant lack of balance in your life overall. There's seasons of imbalance while I birth a new thing. And not everyone operates that way, but that's the way I operate. There's seasons of imbalance and they tend to come in 3 to 6 month swings. And then I need 3 to 6 months of kind of like a little bit of normalcy. And for whatever reason, I kind of like, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but that's the way I do it. It's like super hyper focused, laser in, go hard 3 months. And then I like, you know, just gotta like breathe for a little while. So anyway, I ended up going and doing this MDMA therapy and you're with a nurse, you know, and blindfolded, earmuffs on, you lay down. I was there for 6 hours and I'm just being monitored the whole time. And it was one of the most transformational things of my entire life. It wasn't until that moment that I ever realized that I was basically using, not basically, I was using pain as a fuel source. That is exactly why season 2, episode 1, right, called The Parallel Journey. That's why I'm talking about that. The whole switching pain to purpose. That was that session. And that's what I brought to the table. I was like, look, I am running out of gas because anger and frustration are really exhaustive fuel sources. They burn quickly. Those are not clean fuel sources. There's other ways to create. And this whole thing unfolded in front of me about how to create without anxiety, right? Which you guys know I had a history of that. Well, go figure. I had no idea how much trauma I was living under. No wonder I was an anxiety ball for like easily 12 years of my life. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th. And all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. I had no idea. I was like, oh my gosh. And I just kept pulling on the spool kept unraveling the more and more I pulled. I was like, oh my gosh. One of the craziest self-discovery journeys I've ever been on in my entire life. It was so nutty. All the while, I'm very spiritual, totally believe in God. And I like, that was one of the first things I asked when I got in this, when I could tell I was in it. I had never done anything like that before. MDMA is freaking ecstasy. I had never done it. I've never done this. Still the only time I've ever done that. I've never done that since. Like, it's not my thing. I'm just, anyway, no judgment also for those, for anyone else who's like, whatever. We're all on our own path. So, but I get in this and I was like, God, are you there? Like, am I going to get smitten? Like, is this okay? Like, I'm here trying to like work on my crap, man. I don't know what's going on. Like something's messed up inside. I can't see it. I'm blind to it. I need help. And it's not that I haven't been working on it. I went to a year of that EMDR, you know, probably 6 months before doing that. And that session was absolutely just, it moved so much in my head. And there's been several that have commented that doing one of those sessions is the equivalent of 5 to 10 years of therapy in a single session. And no joke, especially since I'd done a year of therapy prior to that. And it wasn't talk therapy, it was EMDR. There's a lot more, it's not a little bit painful. You've got to relive a lot of your crap in order for it to work. So like, but no kidding, they're not joking. Like, wow. And that was amazing. And from that, I might just make what Marley and I did together, second episode, because I'm already 20 minutes into this. So basically after that, you go through, you know, what they call integration. And integration is where you take the time needed to install the lessons that you got during the session. And it's very key. And without doing that, you're not really getting much of the benefit. The benefit isn't the substance itself. It's not some magic pill. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't just change your life for you. You still have to do the changing. But what it does is it's like, say you're going to build like a new building. And you're like, man, this building's really old. And I've had these thought structures my entire life and I can't get rid of it. And for some reason, it's this eyesore. I really want to see the horizon. Let's, you know, or I need to build it taller. This building in my mind is not, you know, that's just how I think about it. It's the equivalent of demolishing the building and taking jackhammers and breaking up the concrete around it and clearing out all the debris so that you can build something fresh, right? New thought structure, new patterns, but you still got to do the building. Does that make sense? It's not enough to just come in and just demo everything. So, and that's kind of how I thought about it. And that's, that analogy is kind of what I hold inside there. So you go through this integration period and setting and for a while. And what's happening is, you're installing for the next 2, 3, 4 months. And so I went back to the EMDR therapist with all the stuff that I had learned. I was like, hey, I didn't know that I do this. I didn't realize that I think this way. Hey, this is something that's broken in me I didn't like. Oh, hey, here's a whole area of memories that I forgot about that honestly really affected me. Like, and it's still when I'm in crowds, hear what I'm saying? Okay, I'm not getting a bodyguard for Funnel Hacking Live this year. And this is the first time I've never done that. Dude, I got some freaking traumas around some stuff. I didn't know this. I had no idea. So you know what I'm saying? So I was like, hey, there's some body of memories over there. I got to go work on that. So it's not to say like, oh, everything was done and cured and amazing and better. Like there was certainly a notable lift, right, in my overall vibe, a drop in my internal pressure. And, you know, the barometer went down a little. That certainly, there was an immediate effect that way. But the work had really just begun, right? Or the next phase of it. And without it, you're kind of just doing drugs, right? So it's about the integration piece. It's about set and setting. From there, there was, you know, over the next little while, there was a few other forms of therapy like that I went through. But the one that has been, they've all been impactful, though, honestly. When you go in with the right intentions, you have the right set and setting. That matters. This is not something to do in your freaking basement. You see what I'm saying? Like, you treat it with honor and respect, and these are tools, you know. And when I say you, I mean me. Again, not advice, disclaimer, anything I got to legally say to protect myself. I'm just saying, hey, this is my experiences. So what I wanted to give you, and I am going to do what I said before. I'm going to make the one that Marley and I did together a second episode, make it a part two of this, just because I've already been going for a bit. But what I want to give you real quick, though, is two things that I think have wildly amplified the positive effects of psychedelic therapy for me. Number one was learning how to meditate prior to doing any of this. If you don't know how to meditate, totally get it. It was another thing for me that I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go learn that. That's cool, but I don't know. Doesn't seem like it's for me. Probably not. But Honestly, the Muse headband is amazing. That thing is like training wheels for meditation. It gives you real-time feedback on your brain waves. It can tell when you're out of meditation. So basically what it does is you start to meditate and you put this band on your head. It's really cool. Just look at the Muse headband. You'll find it. If you look at Muse headband, but my gosh, it's so good. So I have the first version and the second version of it, but basically put this headband on your head. And I did this for a couple months. Not every day, but frequently. And what it does is you sit down and start to meditate and it teaches you how to do it. Cause I thought I was just thinking nothing and it's not. So it teaches you the app. It's really cool. It teaches you, connects to the headband and reads your head and teaches you, hey, here's how to meditate. This is what you're doing. And when you start getting out of meditation, it just increases this storm sound. So you have headphones in and it sounds like a storm is starting, like you're in the jungle. It's not scary or anything like that, but it just shows like, hey, look, you're out, you're kind of coming out of meditation. And then you teach your head how to slowly guide back towards that spot. And then the storm calms down. And because it's measuring your brainwaves with that band real time, it's happening real time. So it's literally training wheels teaching you how to meditate. I don't know that I would know how to do that without it. Meditation was super key. The Muse app and headband, amazing. The second one that has been very key for me in terms of meditation has been an app called Syncuition. Syncuition is one of my favorite apps on this planet. I still listen to it. I have had some of my largest breakthroughs just in meditation alone on that app. And it is basically an app where it took them 10 years to build it. What they believe is like, hey, we think we know we found where intuition is created and grown in the brain. The app is built to talk to that part of your head the whole time. And so you're in these really cool meditations. And I had to do this after doing the Muse headband because I didn't know how to meditate at first. So you're in these really amazing meditations that are about 25 minutes each and feels like 5 seconds. But that 25 minutes is the equivalent to 4 hours of meditating. And you feel like it when you come out of it. It's like giving your brain a car wash, you know, and you're like, oh, wow. You have no idea how much crap until you start like dusting it off. Like, oh my gosh, this thing is dirty. You know what I'm saying? So that was really, really powerful. Number one, before ever doing anything, you know, I'm not suggesting anyone, not telling anyone, but like it was insanely impactful for me to know how to meditate and control my head that way or guide it prior to doing anything like this, because that's the state I put myself in when I went and did like psychedelic therapy. And because of that, I could like work with it more. They call it medicine usually instead of, you know, which just it is. And yeah, I could work with the medicine more rather than just kind of be taken by it, if you will. The second thing that has been very, very impactful is, and this shows you some massive false beliefs that I had for about myself for a long time that, you know, I thought I was just supposed to be kind of just a workhorse. And just work. You know, that's my role. Completely negating self-care and thinking that it was selfishness, and it's not, it's just self-care. And so that is the second part. Meditation, self-care in terms of whatever that means for you. And those two gave me like tools and resources for things like psychedelic therapy. So the timeline between a lot of these session things, you know, is pretty long, you know, at least a couple months, usually it's like six. Yeah. The most recent thing has been the ayahuasca stuff. And I've done it 5 times and completely different vibe than MDMA therapy, completely different. It's not better or worse. You know what I'm saying? They're all different. It's like just another tool in the toolkit for another task. Same types of outcomes, but different ways going about it. Ayahuasca was very, very spiritual. Just like a bit more aggressive than MDMA. One of the first things that happened to me, I think it was on the second night that I had done it. Round two, I really wanted to work on my panic attacks that I had, you know, started, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years ago. I'm just being wildly open with you guys. All right. I really wanted to work on those panic attacks. So I was like, what the heck? And it got solved by me having the largest one I've ever had in my entire life right on the mat during Aya. Since then, haven't really had one. You know, it's very interesting form of healing. And not that it's that way always, but, you know,
it tends to make you really look at your crap and you like really look at it, which means you might experience it just a little bit more just to, in order to kind of wash it through. So anyway, I wanted to tell you guys a little more of the backstory and all this stuff. I still meditate, not as frequently as I'd like to or should, but still meditate. I still, you know, my self-care has never been greater than has probably in the last few months even. They're all just different tools in the toolkit. And there is a trap that I started noticing people fall into in these communities as I kind of got into them, because there's usually little communities built around, you know, these types of things. And one of the traps is that people get addicted to healing, which means they always need to be hurt. There is I asked this incredibly amazing, powerful, wise shaman once. I was like, you're not just like eternally, you know, fixing crap, right? Like eventually you either got to be making it up or you're done, right? So why continue to do this? And he said, no, you're exactly right. The point of this is not to just constantly, I'm always broken, I'm always wounded. And I honestly, that was one of the things I kind of judged this space for a while. It was like, I had all these breakthroughs and all these epiphanies and all this stuff and all these things that helped me. And I was like, at what point are you just being whiny? You know, like that was another huge like dissuader for me. And he said, no, the point is you will get to a place of healing. But after that, then you really are dealing with a lot of identity design where you're building your future at a faster pace because you're in these different, you know, theta and deep states. And that makes total sense. Totally get that now that I've experienced that. But so that's another big thing I had to come around. But anyway, I was not planning on this being an episode, but I wanted to pre-frame what it is that I'm going to be putting on the next episode. It is the audio of an interview that Marley and I did together about psychedelic therapy. And I am definitely an advocate. And I completely understand that might make some people a little bit uncomfortable. I was too. And part of me sharing this backstory is because of that. So that people know this isn't just like, oh, you know, it's a Saturday afternoon. I got nothing to do. Hey, how about we go try this? That is not at all the context. And that is not at all the set or setting. Like this has only ever been, you know, for me in a very controlled, highly thought through, very intentional thing. And because I love my head and I 100% believe in an afterlife. And I want to get to the next part of this life. And God's like, so like, what the heck, you know, gave you like a high caliber noggin there and you just spread drugs all over your dome piece. I'm sure that's not how he'd say it. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, but part of it has been also breaking a bunch of Hollywood stigmas about what these things are and are used for. And you can see easily from the, you know, scamdemic that happened, the media engine and how it's used against all of us. The same is true for things that makes us healthy. Isn't that interesting? It's like, wow, I experienced some tremendous, incredible, life-changing, only ever done it like certain forms of this one time and it's changed me that much, style of healing. And we're going to go act like there's no validity there. And it's fascinating, again, to get the differences in opinions from those who would get paid long-term versus me just getting better. Blew my mind. Same storyline as with Marley and the cancer stuff and talking to private doctors versus public ones. Holy crap. Very different storylines. And so I completely am against someone just going off and, boy, where can I go get MDMA? Don't, you know, I'm not saying, don't do that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying you learn how to meditate. I'm saying everyone should learn how to have self-care. And if and when there's a time you feel called to some kind of thing like this, and you'll know what I mean by that. I thought that was woo-woo and weird, but that's what someone told me too. Marley's 10th time was my third. I was just like, because I wasn't feeling called to it. I was like, I don't know. I still don't know if I'll do it again. I don't know. Right? But that's the part that I'm saying, that you got the answer for you. Right. And for me to suggest an answer for you, not only is wrong, but it would rob you of the self-discovery that you'd experience on the way to the answer. So you got to figure out what, you know, and if you're like, I'm good, man, my head's good. Sweet. You know, then let's get back to selling stuff. Let's go change the world and ruffle the right feathers. Anyway, hey guys, thanks so much. I appreciate you guys being here. Hey, I am very open to, we just fixed the whole thing. I used to have like 3 to 4 interviews a week on other people's shows, and it's been busy. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. I've gone through major shifts. Part of it is what you just heard me describing and talking about, but I'm back to doing interviews. If you want to have me on your show or, you know, summit or, I love speaking at events, like it was just fun stuff that I really like doing. It's my sport, you know, stage is my sport. So if you go to interviewsteve.com or even just better yet, stevejlarson.com, there's a form on there. Just fill that out and we'll reach back out with calendar times that work for me and would love to be on. So anyway, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And stay tuned for part 2. You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.